Hello, hello to my wonderful partners this lovely Thursday. And I have a powerful teaching for you today. Prayer that moves mountains. And I'm telling you, it's straight scripture that we can experience answers to prayer every single time if we do it according to the Word of God. I want to just say my hellos real fast here. I don't see the program for some reason. Can you take my phone chat and see why here? Okay. I'm sure we're live and I'm sure you're on. So, but I always like to say my hellos. So when I don't see it on my phone, then I begin to wonder if you're on. You are on, and I love it. There you go. Beautiful. Okay. Hello to Cope. Hello to Nalima. Hello to Uma. Hello to Sabita. Okay. Hello to Marilyn. I'm just going to wait till you all come on, or many of you come on. Hello to Koshi and Cece from Norway. Hello to Avina U and Alicia, bless you. Hello to Nalima from India. Yeah, I'd love to know when where you're from, if you can let me. That's so nice. Raju and Anthony and Donna. Hello to Monique and Sorai and Carla. Well, thank you for joining me today. It's going to be a precious time together in the Lord. Here's someone from Mauritius, Sabita from Mauritius. Here is Toby Kelly. Thank you. Here's Joseph. Bless your heart. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to show us today. And I pray, Lord, it will be a blessing and a strength to your people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If you do what the Bible says here, if we do what the Bible says here, we will never have prayer unanswered. Listen to what the Lord says to us. And remember, this is coming from the highest authority. And Jesus, I'm reading Matthew 21, 21, 22. Matthew 21, 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this thing which is done to the fig tree, but also, if he shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now notice verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Sounds too good to be true, but it is. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. You ask power to move mountains? Yes. But you and I have to learn the secret that will release this kind of power. So when the Lord says, I'm going to give you power to move mountains, well, there's a secret to it that we need to find. And let's go to John 14. I mean, think about these amazing words. Whatever you ask, in prayer believing, you will receive. Quite simple. And then you look at John 14, 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. So, meaning God will answer without fail. So, what are you facing today? What mountain are you facing? Are you facing sickness? Are you facing family troubles? Are you facing some impossible bondage? Are you facing a financial problem? Well, whatever you need, listen to me, whatever you need is at your fingertips. Think about that. The power that will solve every problem is at your fingertips. So it's not God's will that you and I be defeated. It's not his will that we fail in prayer. It's not his will that prayer be the last resort, you know. Only people pray when there's a problem. Prayer must become, and this is, I think, something that is so important to, you know, God's power falling. Prayer must become an essential part of our daily life. So that our whole life really is a succession of miracles. So think about, if prayer becomes daily in your life will become miraculous, continual miracles. Now, the Lord Jesus told us that to pray victoriously, to have power in prayer, first of all, we have to obey Matthew 6. So I'm going to begin giving you the secrets of power, the secrets of prayer that can move mountains. Let's look first at Matthew chapter 6, and let's look at verse 5. Here's what it says. And when you pray, you will not be as the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have the reward. But when you pray, enter into your closet. Now, this is important. Or in a room. And when you shut the door, when you shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So, number one, you cannot see power, that the kind of power that Jesus promised in Matthew 21, where he says all things are possible to him who prays and believes. You won't receive the kind of power of John 14:14. Whatever you ask, I'll do it. Unless you do this. You must be alone. You must be alone. Because prayer, if it's not alone, it's not true prayer. Prayer is entering into the presence of God, who's worthy of honor, reverence. So, we have to recognize, number one, we have to recognize the presence of the Lord. Because when we recognize the Lord's presence, then prayer becomes a delight. So, rule number one, recognize the presence of the Lord before you even say a word. You know, there's a very powerful portion in Ecclesiastes 5. I want to read to you. Because, you know, a lot of people don't realize this about God. The Lord doesn't like it when we rush in. Because rushing in is really dishonoring. It says, don't be rash with your mouth. Don't let your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Because God is in heaven and you're on the earth. In other words, he's God, you're not. So, let your words be few, meaning come into God's presence and just wait. Wait till his presence becomes real. That's the key. And so it says in the Bible, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. So you've got to wait in the presence of God. And when his presence becomes real to you and you recognize it, then you pray. Because the recognition of God's presence is the first great secret to prayer. And so the Lord said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 23, he said something quite powerful. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode. So the only people who can really see results are the people who love the Lord, recognize his presence, and now the Lord makes his abode with them. And once God's presence is a reality, prayer is a delight, and prayer begins to work. Secret number two. The other secret is worship. You cannot really see results in prayer. Unless you worship first. John 4, 21. This is so important, you know. Because when you worship, you win his heart. And when you win his heart, your requests will be granted so easily. So John 4 and verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me that the hour comes when you will neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship because salvation is of the Jews. The hour has come, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, because the Father seeks such as worship him. God is spirit. This is key. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. Well, you can't worship him in spirit and truth without a relationship with him. Impossible, as they say in Spanish. So, this is so key. Worship is the result of knowing him. You can't love someone you don't know. You can't worship someone you don't know. And you know, I love what it says in the Psalms, Psalm 100. And so much, there's so much in the Bible about this. But I want to read this one, verse 4 and 5. It says this, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful to him and bless his name. Because the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. So his mercy is released when we worship. Immediately. And that's why David wrote, his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures forever. So God's mercy is the reason prayer is answered. All right, number three. Number three is we have to know God's will concerning a matter before we pray it. Because if we pray something that isn't God's will, no go. So this is the confidence, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he'll hear us. And once we know he's heard us, then we will receive the petition. The answer will come. So God has promised that prayer will move mountains. But we must make sure that we pray for the right mountains to be moved, you know. So, okay, prayer will move mountains. But what mountains did God promise to move? Some of them he hasn't promised to move. So we have to pray according to his will. And don't forget, God has a perfect will, Romans 12:2. He also has a permissive will, Psalm 106:15. So God's permissive will brings harm. And sometimes people want something so bad that is not promised by the Lord, that God says, okay to them, I'll do it, but what happens later is leanness in their life, leanness in their soul, and punishment. Now, relationship, to know God's perfect will, relationship is the key. If we're living, anyone living in disobedience, he is really out of touch with God, and you cannot know God's will then. Even though you may seek it hard, like Saul, you know, he sought God's will so hard, but because there was no relationship, God dismissed him. That's in 1 Samuel 28. Remember, he sought God's will and finally had to go to a witch because God just wouldn't talk to him. Why? Well, there was no relationship with God. So what did David say? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord just won't hear me. Psalm 66, 18. If I entertain sin, if I love sin, it's not going to go nowhere. So God's will is dependent on obedience. God's will, knowing God's will, is dependent on relationship and on, you know, walking with God without sin ruling your life. Because if there is sin in your heart or if you love sin, you'll never discover God's will anyways. Number four, another secret to prayer that has power is daily prayer. Luke 11:3, give us this day our daily bread, day by day our daily bread. So successful prayer means daily contact. So now listen, this is really important. When a man's spiritual life begins to fall apart, it's because there's no daily contact with God. And God can only work with those who have daily contact with Him. So when you pray daily, you actually build in heaven a substance of prayer, like an account stored up for you in glory, that God will release the power at the proper time. Remember, it says in Revelation 8:3, the prayer of the saints arose before God like incense. That was, you know, stored up prayer. So when we pray daily, we store up answers that come at the right time. Believe me, this is really very important. So Daniel, in Daniel 6:10, it talks about how Daniel prayed daily, three times a day, in fact, he prayed. Why? Because he did not wait till a problem arose. He kept daily contact with God, whether there was a problem or not. And so he had, you know, stored up incense, stored up power. So when there was a problem, God took care of it without him crying out for it. Look at Psalm 55:17. This is key. Daily prayer. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice. Wow. So three times a day. Now, so when we pray, we really do need to take this seriously. Make it a habit to pray three times a day. You don't have to spend hours in prayer. You know, spend an hour in the morning, 15, 20 minutes in the afternoon, and a little bit longer at night. You'll see such results in your life. It'll amaze you. So here's another one. So not only daily, but here's number five. Number five is the blood. The blood of Jesus. We can't enter into prayer, true prayer, without entering through the blood. Hebrews 10:19-20 and Hebrews 4:16. It says we enter through a new and living way, through the blood of the Lamb. So in approaching the Lord, you have to confess your sin daily. You have to ask Him to cleanse you with the blood daily. Like Smith Wigglesworth used to say, I take a daily blood bath every day. So every day, ask God to cleanse you with the blood. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the blood is very, very important. Because unconfessed sin is the real reason why prayers are not answered. And we see that in so many portions, but especially Isaiah 59:1-2, where God says to Israel, He says, My hand is not short, you know. I can still answer prayer, but your sins have separated you from the Lord. So Isaiah 59, and you know, you may want to write these down and look at them. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not short, and it cannot save. Neither His ear heavy, it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear you. So we have to confess our sins. Psalm 32:1-6. The second we confess our sins, God will come and forgive us. And then we're going to see power in our life. Amazing. Number six, and then I'm going to give you number seven and pray. Another glorious secret is faith. Mark 11:22-24. You have to believe, but you know, I've got to go back. You can't believe without relationship. So it all kind of, you know, connects. If you have a relationship with God and you recognize His presence and so on, faith is so easy. Faith is not something you have to, you know, convince yourself you got. It's a gift of the Spirit. And I know, so sorry to say, but people have messed this subject up real bad. Because faith comes when the Lord comes. Mark 11:22. Yeah, you heard me right. Faith comes when the Lord comes, not the other way around. People sometimes declare faith wanting the presence of God, but it's the other way around. It's the presence of God that they must seek, and then faith is there. It's such a powerful secret I learned years ago from Catherine Kuhlman when she talked about Jesus in the boat, and He said, where is your faith? Did it drown in the ocean? You know, no, I'm here. Did you leave it on the shore? No, I'm here. Where Jesus is, there is faith. Hallelujah. So Jesus answered, have faith in God. And that word is, have the faith of God. So when faith is there, remember in 2 Corinthians 10:13, it says the spirit of faith. So faith is the Holy Spirit. And number seven, our authority. We have to come in the name of Jesus. Because this is the last glorious secret. You can't come in your own name or your own power or your own authority. Jesus said, in my name. Remember John 14 and 13. Again, you know those scriptures, many of you, but it's so important to remember them. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we come because Jesus, the Son, gave us permission and the authority to use his name. The Lord gave us the power of attorney. If you think about it, it's so powerful. So when we use it, it would be as though he was asking. So he passed his authority to us. Let's use it. All right, I'm going to pray. And by the way, I told you I have a surprise for you today. We were not able to do it, and the surprise was I was going to come to you from my children's school. I was there, and just they couldn't do it technically. So we'll do it again another time with that. Father, come on, let's believe God. Father, give them that truth I just ministered on, that they will truly see all things are possible. All things are possible if we pray and believe. And we'll receive for sure if we just follow the instructions in your word that I just gave. Bless them, meet their needs, answer prayer in the sweetest name, Jesus. Amen and amen. And now I want to pray with you for your financial needs too. But I want to remind you what the Bible says. Honor the Lord with your money, with your substance. You know, anyone who loves Jesus is going to give to the Lord's work. It's impossible. It's impossible to love the Lord and not be a giver. It's just not Christianity. So for God so loved, he gave. So love really is something you do, not something you say. And the Bible says in Proverbs 8:21, that I may cause those who love me, to inherit substance. So when you love the Lord, and then you give in love, like a love gift to the Lord, he will give you treasures. He will give you substance. No, God is not poor. God is a very rich God. But he's waiting for us to obey him. Obedience takes time, you know. When I was young, I just didn't want to give. I was brought up believing poverty is God's will for the believer. I was brought up by Catholic sisters, God bless them, in Jaffa, who believed and convinced us kids that only the poor will make heaven. So when I got saved and I began to read the Bible, it really messed me up when I looked how rich Abraham was and how rich, you know, Isaac and Jacob were. And Solomon really messed me up big, because when I saw how rich he was, I thought, I don't know about those nuns, you know. They told me that only the poor will make heaven. Well, Abraham wasn't poor, and Isaac wasn't poor, and Jacob wasn't poor, and Solomon wasn't poor, and David wasn't poor. A lot of rich people like Philemon are mentioned in the Bible, and Gaius and others. You know, he said, I wish above all things you prosper. John writing to a saint. So, you know, not everybody is going to have the same amount of money, but we all will be blessed. We all will have no needs in our life financially. Even Jesus said, he said, oh, you of little faith. You know, we have to trust God for our daily provision. So we have to obey. That's the secret, really, to be honest with you. It's not about the amount. It's about the love that comes with it. So some people don't have a lot of money to give. But like Jesus looking at that widow woman, he said she gave more than that other guy. Why? Because it was love. It was reverence. It was obedience. It was worship. And love and giving is worship. So as you worship the Lord now with your giving, watch what God will do with you. It's going to be miraculous. Father, in the sweetest name of Jesus, bless them. Meet every need in their life financially, Lord, that they'll have no lack in their life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Much love to you. So I'll see you tomorrow, you sweet people, for a glorious time. And tomorrow, again, I'm going to just let the Lord talk to me. Okay? So, shalom. Bye-bye.